Welcome to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series, a project of the Geneva Peacebuilding Platform. Geneva Peace Week was founded on the core belief that each person, actor, and institution has a role to play in building peace and resolving conflict. Geneva Peace Week is an annual forum in the peacebuilding calendar that includes ceremonies, high-level panels, policy briefings, workshops, videos, podcasts, and other special events. These free contributions are hosted by different organizations and actors around the world. This year, Geneva Peace Week celebrates its 10th anniversary and is held from the 30th of October to the 3rd of November, 2023. For more content, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.
Hello, you are listening to the third episode of Investing in Women and Peace, the stories of women's essential roles shaping peace processes worldwide. A podcast produced by Inclusive Peace and the United Nations Women's Peace and Humanitarian Fund, WPHF, for the Geneva Peace Week 2023 digital series. This episode will be moderated by Brittany Flanagan from WPHF, who is joined by two speakers from Sudan and Eswatini. Salwa El-Sadeq has managed projects on women, peace and security under the Dutch National Action Plan on Resolution 1325 in Sudan for the last 10 years. Wimbai Kapurura is a gender expert and the founder, as well as executive director, of Women Unlimited Eswatini, with more than 10 years of experience on developmental work focusing on gender, human rights, peace building, and socioeconomic development issues. Salwa and Wimbai will use the next 15 minutes to exchange on the linkages between participation and protection of women peace builders in contexts where protection needs have recently become significantly more acute. Please note that the views expressed in this episode are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the position of views of Inclusive Peace or WPHF.
Hi Salwa, hi Wimbai, thank you for joining us today. As key pillars of the YPS agenda, today we are focused on the linkages between protection and participation and where the needs have become most acute. Salwa, can you share with us what are some of the main security risks that women peace builders and women civil society organizations working on engaging in peace processes in your country context? Over to you, Salwa.
Thank you so much. My name is Salwa. I'm glad to be here today to talk about security issues in the context. I will focus on the context of Sudan. So women human rights defenders in Sudan are having many problems during the conflict or even before the conflict. The major problem that those women, they were not part of the decision-making arenas which design the laws and the constitution. So later they will be confronted by many laws and items in the constitution. For example, if there is any quota for the women, so it is not taken seriously. It is taken like an issue just to show the international community that they are giving women the right to participate. So it's not an effective participation on the decision-making and designing the laws and the constitution itself. So later the woman will be confronted by many obstacles. For example, now, during this conflict in Sudan, there is no any kind of protection for women human rights defenders. And even there is some, let's say, tailor-made rules now facing the woman. The moment you start talking about women rights, so the two parties look for which affiliation you have. They don't consider you as a human rights defender. You will be considered as you are affiliated to this or this. At the same time, the most dangerous risk now is raping. So all the human rights defenders, women, they are very vulnerable to raping. Raping because of the conflict. Raping is used as a weapon. Raping because your affiliation. Raping because your ethnicity or tribal issue. So this is the most dangerous security issue that facing the women peace builders in Sudan. Even the CSOs, they also, as individual or as CSOs, they are also facing the same problem. Even now in Sudan, there is a group of women activists who demonstrate against woman torture. So immediately the Humanitarian Aid Commission designed new rules and new measures to hinder women from being taking part in defending their rights. This is exactly what is happening now in Sudan.
Thank you so much, Salwa, for sharing such valuable insights and some of the security risks that are facing women peace builders and women civil society organizations in Sudan. Now we would like to turn to Bimbai for you to share with us more from Eswatini on what is the relationship between protection and participation in peace processes.
Thank you, Brittany. The relationship between participation and protection for women peace builders in the context of heightened protection needs is really intertwined. So the threats to women's personal security have become more obvious as their involvement in peacekeeping and security has actually gained more visibility. So it is actually common knowledge that women who have taken part in the Security Council proceedings have really experienced threats to their lives. Like women in politics, women in journalism, human rights, they face threats and murder on a global scale. And the reality is that this pattern highlights the negative aspects of participation, and it makes it very clear that the participation and protection pillars of policy need to be more thoroughly integrated. So women's engagement in peace processes in this case and their protection from human rights violations like sexual violence related to conflicts, have grown to be the two main concerns and priorities of the Women, Peace, Security agenda. So to fully understand the nature of both participation and protection under this agenda, it is becoming more and more clear that a broader perspective is actually required. So the threats, the intimidation, the violence, and even murder are experienced by various women for participating in public or political life in a variety of contexts and roles. And that includes rights, advocacy, that includes journalism, that includes formal politics, and the direct physical violence as well as covert kinds of intimidation and harassment intended to silence women are actually risks that many women face on a daily basis. So I would say the ability and willingness of women to participate in peace and security are significantly impacted by these forms of abuse and intimidation, despite the fact that they largely fall outside the protection tied to conflict-related sexual violence.
Thank you so much, Vimbai, for sharing these clear linkages between participation and protection for women peace builders in peace processes. Now I think is a good time to turn back to Salwa to share more on what the international community can do to address women peace builders' protection needs in peace processes.
The international community can support women human rights defenders in many ways. So during the conflict, women human rights defenders, they are in need of safe corridors to get humanitarian aid, like any other woman in the conflict area. And they need to have also kind of protection to be engaged in the peace negotiation. like in the case of Sudan, the negotiation in Jeddah has no a single woman in that peace negotiation. And also the women human rights defenders, they need the international community, they need to pursue justice and the accountability. The two parties should be held accountable for their deeds and pursue justice for them. And most importantly, the international community can help on realizing 1325 with its four pillars on protection and participation. And also the international community can help on adopting and ratifying some international norms such as Maputo Protocol. But most importantly, I think for human rights defenders, women human rights defenders, we don't have to wait until there is a disaster, whether it is natural or it is man-made. So we can just get support and get disaster ready. That means we need from the international community funding for capacity building, funding to enhance participation in the peace negotiation, funding for being effective on designing the rules and participating on designing the constitutions of our countries, and also to be ready for any decision-making arenas to participate effectively on the decision-making. And at the end, justice, 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 because peace will never be sustainable and without justice, transitional justice and justice.
Thank you, Salwa, for sharing those concrete recommendations on what the international community can do to support women peace builders. Now I would like to turn that question over to Vimbai. Vimbai, can you share what the international community can do to address women peace builders' protection needs in peace processes?
Thank you, Salwa, for those sentiments. I totally concur with your sentiments, Salwa, and I'll reiterate to say, apart from the brief mention indicated in the UNSC Resolution 2493, neither peace builders nor their protection needs are addressed by the current international or legal systems. There are no international regulations protecting women who work to achieve peace. And the women human rights defenders have well-documented threats, policy frameworks, urgent action response mechanisms, but their work is public-facing, which actually lends itself to certain risks and solutions. And so women peace builders are not well-studied, and there is no accepted definition. It's possible that women peace builders won't be able to properly execute or use or even access current guidelines for women human rights defenders. There's a significant difference between women human rights defenders and women peace builders based on the nature of work that they do. Even though they may both identify as women human rights defenders and advocate for human rights, there's a key distinction in that women peace builders seek out people who violate human rights and engage in dialogue for a common future, as opposed to women human rights defenders who actually call out violators and demand accountability. This, in fact, implies that what benefits one can actually impair the other in terms of risk and response. So therefore, there should be adequate security measures in place for all women peace builders based on a security risk assessment. And the reality is that women's security rather than their inclusion is a greater predictor of stability. And so there is greater need to compare the lack of security experienced by female peace builders with the ease with which other players and interests can obtain nearly any level of security. In this case, I would like to say governments should be urged to allocate some of the budget spent on private security annually to meet the security requirements of women peace builders so that they can contribute to peace without fear of reprisal, fear of intimidation or victimization. And the international community can actually enhance the capability of national institutions to guarantee the safety of peacemakers, thus creating regional early warning systems and also helping those who are at risk is of paramount importance. And lastly, I think I can say the right of women to speak up, the right of women to participate in decision-making and protect their rights must not be attacked or silenced or criminalized, and the international community must unite to resist such efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Vimbai, for your most valued insights. I would like to pass the floor back to each of you. Salwa, maybe you can go first for one final message on this topic for our listeners. Salwa, over to you.
Okay. My final message would be more funding for women human rights defenders or women peace builders, for capacity building, and also for exchanging their experience and knowledge, for more interaction between all these women globally. Second, I would like to draw attention to the issue of documentation of the horrors and all these violations against women human rights defenders and women peace builders, as there is a distinction. So for the case of Sudan, now we are struggling to document the cases of violation. But you know, there is lack of knowledge and lack of understanding the issue. So women don't want to speak out because they are not having a good background to speak out about their experience with violations, about their experience with the harassment which is happening now. So this is very important. Documentation is very important. We need to be supported in this issue globally, I mean, to show out all the violations against human rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Salwa. Vimbai, over to you for one final statement.
I'd like to point out to the fact that the policymakers and organizations involved in peace building should actually develop gender-responsive protection policies that consider the specific needs and challenges faced by women peace builders. So in the context of Eswatini, we have got up-to-date policies, but the challenge is the implementation of those policies. They do just appear on paper. And so there is no sufficient commitment from the government for implementation, even the government structures. Policies are not empowered to enforce the protection of peace builders. Protection is selective, and policies are applied on the basis of who is who and who knows who. So there is really lack of empowerment within government structures to address gender issues. And I feel there is need for all of us to really come together and see how this can be strengthened to bring peace in the world. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Geneva Peace Week podcast series. For more content like this, join us at the Geneva Peace Week or online at www.genevapeaceweek.ch.